Well, this morning we'll be continuing our Sunday school series in the book Praying Backwards by Brian Chappell. We've covered the first six chapters already, and today we will be covering chapter 7, which is on praying persistently. So just a reminder for everyone, the theme that Chappell is unpacking throughout his book is his concept of praying backwards, the title of the book. And effectively what Chappell means by praying backwards is praying in Jesus' name or in submission to God's will and for his glory, but rather than waiting until the end of the prayer when we normally say in Jesus' name, praying that way throughout the entire prayer starting from the beginning. So keeping in mind in everything that we bring forward in our prayer that we need to be doing so in accordance with God's will and for his glory. In short, Chappell's goal is to help Christians learn how to pray with the objective of prayer being to glorify God in submission to him. And ultimately, this change in the character of our prayers must be brought about by a reorientation of our hearts from worldly desires to a desire for God's purposes to be accomplished and for God to be glorified above all other things. So over the past few weeks, we've reviewed some of the particular ways in which our prayers should be affected by this process of praying in Jesus' name, praying in accordance with God's will and for his glory. Some of these areas in particular are areas where our prayers tend to fall short, such as praying without doubting, praying boldly, and praying expectantly. Today's focus, praying persistently, I would argue, also tends to fall in that category of something where our prayer life tends to fall short. In fact, persistence more generally, I would argue, is a major issue that we deal with in our society these days. And there are a number of reasons why that's the case. One obvious one is that being persistent is not easy. It's hard. It requires hard work. It requires patience, determination, commitment, faith. It involves a sustained effort over a long period of time. And sometimes there's very little in the way of results to provide us with encouragement or motivation to keep going. So this has always made persistence in general a challenge. However, in our current time and culture, things like persistence, dedication, commitment, etc., are becoming more and more antiquated as we've become so used to instant gratification and high-speed results. You think about it, a lot of you probably could go and place an order for something that you want online and have it at your doorstep within 2 days. In fact, I think the other day we actually ordered something one morning and it was there by later that afternoon. So we're pretty used to getting quick results, whether it's logistics or communications. We essentially have instant communication all across the world with other people. We're not used to waiting on things anymore. We've sort of lost that sense of having to wait on things to come to us and being patient and persistent in our waiting. So often, whenever we don't get those results that we want quickly or in the time frame that we think is acceptable, we have a tendency to quickly give up and move on to the next task rather than sticking it out and continuing to try to make things work. So for these and a number of other reasons, I believe our persistence, even in our prayer life, is often lagging as part of a more general trend in lack of persistence. How many times have we asked God for specifics in our prayers, and then when we didn't immediately get a God granting our request, we gave up and moved on? We stopped thinking about it. I think if we're being honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit that this happens probably more often than we'd like to admit. Even when we're prepared well to handle an answer of no, Sometimes we forget that God may not necessarily be saying no, but rather he may just be saying not yet. Now, it's not so difficult to maintain this perspective and to persist in prayer when God does not grant us petitions within a few days or even a few weeks. But what about when we've been praying for years and have still not seen a clear answer to our prayers? As an example, perhaps you've prayed for many years for the salvation of a loved one, and as yet you have not seen evidence of God's working of repentance and faith in their lives. Over time, it may have become more difficult to continue praying, as you've suffered and wept over the state of their soul and still have not seen any return on your supplications. Perhaps you've even begun to forget to include them in your prayers, or at least you don't pray for them as often as you used to, or as fervently as you used to. In the first part of this chapter, Chappelle encourages us to not lose heart when our long-standing and recurring prayers seem to go unanswered. As an encouragement, he reminds us of a number of instances from Scripture that demonstrate the need for an example of perseverance in prayer. Some of these include Hannah, who prayed to the Lord for years to be blessed with a child and promised to dedicate that child to the service of the Lord. And eventually, by God's grace, she did conceive and gave birth to Samuel, the prophet. Daniel is another example, someone who lived in captivity, in terror, often for decades, before eventually seeing the conversion of King Nebuchadnezzar. Then, when we turn to the teachings of Christ, we see in multiple parables where he addresses this specific situation. He talks about persistence in prayer. We have examples both in the book of Luke in chapter 11 and chapter 18. The parable in chapter 11, Chappelle has dealt with already some in his previous chapters. If you recall, that's the parable where the man goes to visit his friend at midnight and asks him to lend him 3 loaves of bread to share with another friend who's just arrived from a journey. And the man who is rudely awakened initially refuses, but when his friend persists, he eventually concedes to the request. Then in chapter 18, we see another example of a parable from Jesus where he addresses this subject. And so we'll read through Luke chapter 18, starting in verses 1, going through verse 8. Here it says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily.'" Thus we see Jesus teaching that his disciples are to continually bring their requests back to our Father in heaven, and not give up when we do not initially receive the answer we're looking for. This should give us much encouragement to continue in prayer when we've become discouraged, because we know that this is actually something that God desires for us to do. Christ has told us that we should be coming back to the Lord again and again with our prayers. We should persist. Coming back to the subject of praying for the salvation of those we care about, Chappelle gives a good example from the life of George Miller, who's someone he's talked about in his previous chapters in the book, and he mentions that Miller in his youth began praying for the salvation of 5 of his friends. One of those friends was saved within 2 years' time. 2 more came to faith in Christ after 10 years, and the other 2 were still not saved when Miller died after having prayed for them for 52 years. However, a couple of months after his death, they too were saved. How fortunate were these individuals to have a faithful friend like Miller, who never stopped praying for their souls? And how great of a blessing might we be to those whom we love, who have yet to come to put their faith in Christ and repent of their sin, if only we would be so faithful in our prayers for them. Now, going back to some of the reasons we do not persist in prayer, it may be due to the fact that we grow weary from asking. It may be that we begin to doubt that God will answer us. Or at worst, we may even begin to question whether God has our best interests at heart. As Chappelle points out, delayed answers to deep hurts can scar faith and can also help feed the conviction that God does not want to answer our petition, at least not in the way that we are asking. Such an attitude is not necessarily wrong. One way that we can actually clarify our understanding of God's will is by testing it in prayer. We cannot let our doubting or frustrations cause us to stop praying for things when we do not get the answer we want. As Chappelle says, we should not mistake timidity for humility. God wants us to continue to return to Him in prayer. While we need to maintain an appropriate fear of the Lord, it is still okay for us to approach Him and ask Him for answers to our prayers. And to be honest about our frustrations, as long as we remain truly humble and submissive to His will. Even within Scripture, we see examples, particularly in the Psalms, of individuals crying out to God in pain and asking for His help, protection, and blessings. In these instances, faithful believers cry out to God, expressing their desperation and their pain, but still with fear and reverence, and with a persevering hope in God's righteousness and the surety of His protection and deliverance. We would do well to follow their humble examples. Rather than bottling up our feelings and being too arrogant or too ashamed to bring them before God, we would be better off to be honest with God about how we feel, since He already knows anyway, and cast our hope upon Him to provide us all that we need, having the humility to accept that what we need ultimately may not be what we desire. Likewise, we should not be afraid of offending God by continuing to pray repeatedly for things that we have been praying for already and have not yet seen come to pass. As we've seen from the teachings of our Savior, God wants us to bring Him our petitions over and over again. Now, obviously, we can all imagine ways in which this could be inappropriate, such as if we were to be asking for things that are sinful. Then it wouldn't be good to persist in prayer for those things. Or if we were to be demanding answers from God, saying that God must give me an answer, that's not the right way to approach God. But if our requests are being made for things that are righteous, and we're doing so in humble submission to God's will and to His wisdom, and for His glory, then we even please God by continuing to ask, and we ought to do so with confidence and boldness. Still, though, there remains the question of why. Why does God sometimes delay His answers? Why does God make us ask over and over? Why does He make us persevere in prayer? These are questions that we all inevitably ask, and they're worth considering. One of the main reasons God requires us to persevere in prayer is so that we will learn to depend upon Him and to trust in both His wisdom and His timing. Some of the things that we pray for simply take time, and they require the interaction of many people and many events in order to come to fruition. Because we do not see the results soon, we must continue to go to God in prayer time and again, and in doing so, we deepen our humility and our dependence on Him to see things through. When God does answer our prayer after much time has passed, we are eventually able to better see all of the amazing ways in which God has worked to bring about the blessings in our lives, and we better appreciate how God truly is so sovereign over all events and at all times. Sometimes this can be a very painful process. It may be that we're enduring great suffering and asking for deliverance. but we're left to continue suffering for a very long time. However, we know that God always works things to good for those who are called according to his purpose. And we must remember that just because we do not currently know his purpose for us, that doesn't mean that he's not working things together all the same to bring about his glory through our lives. I'm sure many of you have been in those types of situations where you're praying for something, perhaps you're in great pain, and you have to pray for it day in and day out, maybe for years without getting an answer. And in those times, it can be very frustrating. It can be very disheartening. But if we continue to rely on the Lord, we know that he will work all things together for good. Probably most of you have been through those situations and had the good fortune of coming out on the other end at some point. It's always much easier to see after the fact, looking back in hindsight, how the Lord was working in our lives to bring about good, to bring about things that we didn't even consider or think about at the time, while we were going through whatever it was. It's something that we do need to work on, to always keep that perspective and remember that we ought to be trusting in God and in his timing. And it's important that we endure, even if we do not necessarily get to see certain blessings from God within our lifetime. Chappelle includes some details in his book about Eric Liddell, who's the Olympic runner profiled in the movie Chariots of Fire, who left a legacy of Christian ministry in Asia, much of which he didn't even get to see in his lifetime, but nevertheless had multi-generational consequences. And one of the greatest examples of trusting in God to provide, even when the results are not yet seen, is the example of God's people praying for centuries for their Messiah to come and bring them salvation. While God may not have granted that they were blessed by seeing the Messiah come in their lifetime, he did indeed provide for them and us with a perfect Savior at the perfect time. And now, even as we pray for Christ to come again, we know that he will do so in his own perfect timing. And when doing so, he will save his people to the uttermost. In short, we can have confidence when we persevere in prayer that God will work all things according to the counsel of his wise and holy will, and the results, whether we see them in this life or not, will be far greater than any of our feeble designs. When we consider reasons why God does not always grant us immediate answers to our prayers, why he would prolong our wanting and maybe even our pain, a reason that typically does not occur to us is that, as we've been talking about, it's for our good. I know this may not be the easiest thing to accept, especially when we're facing times of hardship or desperation, but all the same, it is the case that God's choice to delay his answer to our prayer, or to answer it in a way that we did not expect or foresee, is always designed for the Christian's good. We can easily recall Romans 8:28, which is a very familiar passage to all of us, and we have in Scripture. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. By this statement, we know that God's delayed answer to prayer, just like everything else that God does, is designed to accomplish good for those of us who love God, who are called by God according to his purpose. The question then isn't whether or not God is working things together for our good, but rather, what is truly good for us? And we have the answer if we keep reading in verse 29. It says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." God is conforming us to the image of his Son, and the process that we refer to as sanctification. The greatest good being wrought in our lives by our prayers is not a material blessing. It's not inner peace or comfort in this life, but rather our being conformed to the image of the Son of God, being transformed through the renewal of our minds and growing in righteousness and obedience to God the Father by the power of the Spirit of Christ. What greater blessing could we possibly hope for when approaching the throne of grace? By requiring us to bring our petitions to him over and over again, God works to train us in righteousness and in Christ's likeness. As Chappelle says, persistent prayer makes us more like Christ by tempering our human selfishness and by strengthening our divine dependence. We learn over time to let go of some desires when we recognize that they are not truly necessary or even desirable, and to grow in wisdom when it comes to what we ask of our Father in heaven. In fact, as Chappelle points out, it's actually best that God does not answer prayers immediately in many cases, because this would only go to serve our own self-indulgence. Chappelle provides another good quote, "Prayers too soon answered would merely feed appetites that distract us from God." Who cannot relate to having been sanctified by God's deferred answer to prayer, or to answers of no? Sometimes it is as if the Lord is telling us, "Are you really sure that's what you want?" On some occasions, we may find that over time, we refine our requests as we become wiser, either through gained experience, through the studying God's word, and the work of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. Certainly, as our hearts and minds become better aligned with the will and character of our Savior, our prayers will, as a result, become more like His as well. And one of the most powerful ways that this transformation of sanctification is brought about is through the time we spend in fellowship with God before His throne of grace. This is why it is critical that we keep coming back to the Lord to commune with Him, to praise Him through our prayers, confess our sins before Him, give thanks for our many blessings, and lift up our supplications to Him. These are all part of the pattern that has been demonstrated for us by the faithful saints of old, and most prominently by Christ Himself. And one of the ways that the Lord cultivates this dependence upon Him within us is by not always granting our prayer requests right away, requiring us to persevere in prayer and to come back again and again to enjoy communion with Him. Indeed, in this way, God's requirement of persistence in prayer is one of the great blessings of our lives. Chappelle describes this succinctly when he says that we may want a change in our circumstances when God wants a change in us. Now, as we return to the Lord over and over again in prayer, this gives us the opportunity to examine our prayers to determine whether they are indeed proper and refine these petitions when necessary. Of course, this also requires great discernment between prayers that are right and appropriate, but that God may either plan to answer in the negative or simply require further persistence, and those prayers that would be improved through refinement in order to better align with God's will as given to us in Scripture. Making that determination can be very difficult, but even the process of making that discernment can be sanctifying, as it requires us to return to God's Word and seek the wisdom contained therein. In the next couple of chapters that we're going to review in our ongoing Sunday school series, we'll actually spend some time talking about how to discern the way to pray rightly. But for now, we at least understand that there will be circumstances when we do need to revisit our prayers and adjust them based on our sanctified understanding of God's character and commandments. We may even uncover in this process that there are things we're asking for that we should not be. Areas where we've expressed want when we should have expressed gratitude and thanksgiving. Areas where we've prayed for deliverance when we more properly should be just praying for God to be present with us through this hard time that we're going through. And times when we ought to have been praying for sanctification. Perhaps there's, you know, a difficult situation at work or a difficult conversation that needs to be had with a family member or a close friend. And rather than wishing that this would just go away and praying that the Lord would handle it without us having to be involved and dealing with, you know, potentially an awkward situation, we'd be better off taking this opportunity that the Lord has given us to trust in Him and to conduct ourselves with grace and show to others our complete dependence upon God and our willingness to suffer discomfort even for the sake of doing what we know is right and necessary. If nothing else, might God be using our anxiety in this matter to draw us repeatedly to Himself in prayer, so that we might learn to find our security and comfort in Him rather than in our own abilities and accomplishments. In the book, Chappell provides an excerpt from Calvin's Institutes, and I've included a little bit longer excerpt here just because I think Calvin does such a great job summing up the importance of constant prayer. So as we get close to the end of our lesson here, we'll spend just a little time walking through this passage from Calvin and his Institutes of the Christian Religion. And so Calvin says, "It is very much for our interest to be constantly supplicating Him," talking about constant prayer to God. "First, that our heart may always be inflamed with a serious and ardent desire of seeking, loving, and serving Him, while we accustom ourselves to have recourse to Him as a sacred anchor in every necessity. Secondly, that no desires, no longing whatever, of which we are ashamed to make Him the witness, may enter our minds while we learn to place all our wishes in His sight and thus pour out our heart before Him. And lastly, that we may be prepared to receive all His benefits with true gratitude and thanksgiving, while our prayers remind us that they proceed from His hand." Calvin's statement does a wonderful job pointing out the sanctifying effects of prayer. And it's self-evident that if we are praying continually and striving to pray in accordance with God's will, then we will be training ourselves on how to pray better. We should expect to see even improvement in our prayers over time if we dedicate ourselves to it. Much like learning a musical instrument or training ourselves for an athletic competition, the practice of prayer will result in an improvement in our skills when it comes to prayer, and we will only continue to feel more confident as we draw near to the throne of grace. What a blessing it is that God would grant us the ability to commune with Him and to grow in righteousness, grace, confidence, and humility, all while preparing ourselves to spend an eternity with Him in glory. Saints, let us not neglect the blessing of prayer. May we commit ourselves each day anew to praying persistently, bringing our petitions before God time and again, learning patience, and trusting in His wisdom, His timing, and His sovereignty to work all things together for our good, for our sanctification, and more importantly, for His glory.